Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freundo, Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language, and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Visible is a wireless carrier that is not invisible. It is pretty clear from the name. Actually, radio waves are invisible. And I can say this with authority as a licensed amateur radio operator. That being said, Visible won't be giving you the power to see light outside the visible spectrum. It's actually way better because having that ability would make getting around very difficult and distracting. What you do get with Visible is unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You get one line of wireless, just $25 a month, which is great in these times of economic uncertainty. That is one line for $25, taxes and fees included. So whatever you're doing at this moment, please stop. Switch immediately. Now, monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Listen. Hello and welcome to NVC, IGN's Nintendo podcast. I'm your host, Casey DeFreitas. I'm finally back. Hello.
Yay. Welcome back.
Hi.
Good to have you.
Hey, you've heard too much of me.
Air Snyder.
Hey.
And Brian Altano.
Hello.
We never hear too much of you, Tom. But I was gone to Nintendo Live in Kyoto, Japan during the typhoon. It was fine. Kyoto was totally okay. It wasn't fine everywhere else, but Kyoto was not bad.
We were worried about you, honestly.
Yeah, I actually had a lot of people ask me, like, hey, you're in Japan, are you okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Luckily, I was in the southern part, southern-ish compared to Tokyo, and it was okay. But Nintendo Live was really cool, guys, and I think we should all make a trip next year together to go to Nintendo Live.
I agree,
Live.
Right, Pear?
What do you think, Pear?
We have budget for that, right?
Oh,
you
man,
stop buying
that
Nintendo
sounds
Switches?
Great.
We can do a Nintendo Live, like, full week of coverage.
Yeah,
so real quick, tell me what this event was, because at first I thought you were just going to a Smash Bros. Tournament, and then you were telling me you like saw KK Slider live, and then it just escalated and escalated.
Who's not real, so.
Right.
Not proven. We don't know that, and you can't say that, and that's sad and disingenuous to put that kind of information out there.
But it was like a bigger festival than just that.
He's
real.
Yes.
So there were three different big, think of like a convention, and think of your not biggest show floor rooms, but kind of the smaller ones. And there were three of those. And one of them had Splatoon, competition set up and a stage for Mario Maker, and they actually had two content creators come on who are comedians who play Mario Maker. Oh. And had them go on.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. Mm-hmm.
They're huge on YouTube.
Yes. And they had a bunch of photo opportunities, like a bunch of like walls with Splatoon stuff. And mm-hmm. I saw so many kids go up and like do the Splatoon like poses. It was really cute. and then they had, it was very wholesome. And then they had another room with all of the demos of games that haven't come out yet, like Ring Fit Adventure and Animal Crossing and Brain Age, Luigi's Mansion. And then they had a Pokemon section where they had really nice displays of all of the Pokemon games through the ages with like a little trailer playing of each of them with the game boxes and the game cartridges and another photo opportunity. They had people in costumes of Animal Crossing, Pokemon, just and Smash, like Yoshi and stuff like that, just pop up randomly.
Are you sure those were costumes?
I think they might have been real.
Okay,
so I met Score Bunny for reals, and he was very hot at the touch, so he's definitely a fire bunny.
But you know how to defeat him, so no problem.
Yeah. Just, you know, spill my water on him and be fine.
That's amazing. You know?
But we got to do, so I was mainly there. I was able to interview the pro Smash players who were there, and the way that this was the, it was like a world championships that Nintendo put on themselves, so they made a team called the Dream Team, so they invited people, they invited Mr. R and Kaleo and Nairo to make the Dream Team because these are some of the top Smash players. And MKLeo is actually known to be the best Smash player in the world right now. So I got to talk to them about their controller layouts and their favorite characters and their best and their favorite and least favorite patch changes so far. And they actually ended up winning the tournament. So that was really cool. But look out for more articles about that on the site coming out this week.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear about the favorite characters thing.
And despite the bad weather, did you see anything of Kyoto, one of the most beautiful cities in the world?
Unfortunately, the only day we had free in Kyoto was very rainy.
Okay.
We did go to one of the shrines. I've been to Kyoto before a couple of times, and I visited the Fushimi Inari Shrine. Like, I think I talked to you about that.
Is that the one in the Gion Quarter?
Fushimi Inari is...
Oh, that's the one with the gates.
The big one with the gates that inspired Star Fox.
It has all these little Tori Shinto gates, these red gates, like just
all the way up a mountain.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's really cool.
Yeah, that's such
a
great city.
If you go through enough of them, Falco helps you through a waterfall for an alternate boss.
And a little yellow ring comes, goes.
Yeah. Right.
I also went to the Kyoto Pokemon Center and was there way too long. I was there so long that Josh Du, who went with me, just was gone.
I'm leaving. He's on an airplane. That's cool.
But no, it was really interesting, and I wanted to show you guys a little bit of the Splatoon concert, which they did, which I think was probably one of the coolest things that I saw there. And it sounds weird, right? Splatoon concert. It was a live concert of the Squid Sisters and Off the Hook with a live band, and KK Slider opened for them.
Nice. Did you take this video?
I did not take this video. We were not allowed to take video. Aww. This is the official video that Nintendo put together and produced.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. So let's see. All right.
I love that voice right out the gate. For those of you just listening, there is a giant holographic KK Slider on stage.
And a bunch of people in the audience with Splatoon colored like noisemakers.
I have goosebumps right now. I would have lost it hearing this this dog play live.
Uh-huh. No, he played a little bit of the Splatoon theme, and he also played the New Horizons theme.
I That's love so the MIDI good. Guitar. And everyone, that they used.
And everyone's clapping.
Oh my god.
It's so good.
And let me skip ahead to when the
Wait. Give me a moment. I love it so much.
Did he do KK Cruisin'?
These were the only two he did, unfortunately. This was a Splatoon concert.
Brian asking the real questions though.
He should have done KK Cruisin' and brought out Dre and Snoop. This is so awesome.
I love how it's completely quiet.
Yeah.
I don't it's a ballad.
I don't think you could ever get an audience to be this into something like this in the States.
I just want to take this time travel back to the 50s and show it to people and see what they say.
Yeah, right? It's like, what is this?
What scares me, that's awesome. What scares me is that KK Slider was clearly like 8 feet tall.
Yep.
That's so unsettling.
I think they're all really big.
That's the secret of Animal Crossing. Yeah. Yeah. I guess we don't have a scale. We don't know.
Let's
it's like a weird thing
stage.
That happens when KK Slider holds out one note. Because it reaches a point of uncomfortable. Like, it's just like, bah.
Dude, this concert was so loud.
Rain.
This concert was incredibly loud, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, it was uncomfortably loud.
The KK stuff seems pretty chill.
Yeah, but then you get... let's see, is it actually starting? Here, let's see.
Are those people in costumes?
No, that's a hologram.
Yeah. But they have a real band playing in the background, and it gets, like, really heavy at some points. But everyone in the crowd knew... When there are dance movements to some of these songs, they knew the dance movements. Everyone in the crowd, whether there were a woman or man, a child, anything.
I hope they also know the lyrics.
There were some songs that had audience interaction, and everyone interacted with it.
Wow.
That's so cool. Casey, this is utterly insane.
Yeah, no, it was super crazy.
I genuinely love it.
We need this here.
I do have some issues with KK having to open up for somebody else. I think that's nonsense. He's earned his pedigree as a headliner.
He's the main act.
He's been in the game for 20 years plus. This is ridiculous.
I don't know. Dude does like one show a week.
Yeah.
On Saturdays.
That's important though.
They're working. They're out there every day on the radio. Guys? Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
By the way, did you have any time to play any of the unreleased stuff? Did you do your kanji challenge in Brain Age?
Funny story that I didn't know because I don't speak Japanese. I need to pause this so you don't hear the wonderful Splatoon music anymore. Anyway, so we didn't know that you had to sign up for a slot to play the game.
Casey.
It's a different story, Pear, for a different time. But... No, anyway, we were told after we got in line that we needed to sign up for a time to get in line the day before, but because all of the instructions were in Japanese everywhere and there was no English instructions provided to us, we had no idea that that was the case.
All right.
But we did get to go through the Animal Crossing experience after hours, and while there we saw Sakurai playing Ring Fit Adventure. So everything's fine.
Oh, it was worth it.
Yeah, there's really no problem that I have.
Is that the secret to his everlasting youth? Could you see him get younger while playing?
Yes. It's incredible how young he looked.
Fun fact, Ring Fit Adventure has actually been available only to Sakurai for the last 15 years.
That's it.
And then they finally released it to the public. Yeah.
Wow.
Only man to develop the aging technology in real life.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about experiencing the Animal Crossing world thing in it after hours.
So I had to have someone translate the experience to me because, again, everything was in Japanese.
I think it's Animalese, actually.
Animalese. Okay, everything was in Animalese, so I had an Animalese translator who was very kind to do that for me while Tom Nook was trying to speak to me. I mean, it felt very rude not being able to understand this very nice raccoon who's trying to steal money from me.
Yep.
But, you know, I made it work. And it basically, it's a you know those timeshare presentations you go to? And they try to really sell you on something that's really not good for you, but
that's
by the end of it, you really want to do it.
Yeah.
Because
they
give you these things and tell you these promises.
And then all your bills are gone in like 2 months.
Yeah, you get like an Olive Garden gift card or something.
Yeah, that was the experience. And at the end of the experience, I not only got to pose with a photo with Tom Nook, so obviously it's worth it. I'm going to the deserted island. I don't have a choice. Yep. But he also gave me something that I want to give to one of you guys, and I was having a really hard time choosing who to give this to, so you guys are going to have to fight about it.
Well, it has a bear on it.
No, yeah.
A sad bear on it, so it's got to be Tom.
So I wanted to give this to Tom, not only because his name is Tom, but because his mom is knitting him a Tom Nook sweater.
Exactly.
She actually is doing that.
That's amazing.
She sent me in-progress pictures already.
Oh, my God.
But I also heard Brian is Tom Nook's biggest fan. So.
I do love Tom Nook. What is it?
So
is it a towel?
So it's a towel, but you put your chopsticks in it.
What? Now I'm more confused. Wait.
So it's a towel with Tom Nook's face on it. And it's
and
something
Timmy
that you get a lot as a souvenir in Japan. Like if people... I went to a couple of places where my hosts gave me something to take home, and there were always these.
And you wrap it in it. That's
and
it.
you wrap like diningware in it.
It's
that's
awesome.
So sweet.
Yeah.
So here's the Tom Nook towel.
That is so
fight
Tom.
Over this later.
I like it a lot.
Sorry of my indecisiveness.
No.
There's also a nice bag with his face on
that
it.
That is a great
feel
bag.
Like the loser of the fight gets the bag.
Yeah, that's the consolation prize. Yeah.
Okay.
And Timmy and Tommy.
You guys can rip it.
His nephew kids are there.
I did get something for everyone.
His indentured servants that work at his stores after hours.
Whoa.
But before children. I give
it's
you...
It's true. Look into it.
Before I give you the new presents...
That was like targeted at
before
like the
I
Animal
give you
Crossing
the new
PD.
Presents, I finally finished unpacking from Gamescom.
So these are German things.
So I found I forgot I had brought all of these stickers back from Gamescom. So here's some stickers.
Right. Well, that's awesome.
They're Super Mario stickers and Mario Kart stickers.
All right.
Somewhere.
That's great. Thank you.
I want to see these. Oh, these are very cute.
I didn't know we were going to get gifts on this show.
I'm not going to ask why you hadn't unpacked from Gamescom yet.
I'm
not going to judge you.
Travel.
I think that is bold, and I'm
traveling Casey.
Honestly, like, respect. That's kind of amazing.
No, my fiance was like, Casey, you should start unpacking one of your three suitcases. And so that's what I did this weekend. But I got more stickers. I'm sorry. This is just the best. I thought
these are
they
awesome.
Were really cute. Yeah, so these are meant to be luggage stickers.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's great.
But I got four, so we'll give one to Zach later. But
perfect.
For each
he doesn't
of
deserve
guys.
Them. Here, folks, if you want to see them.
Oh, I love that. Are these from...
these are great.
These
it
are
baggage
exclusive from Nintendo Live. You could only get them at Nintendo Live.
Oh, my God.
I
love these.
Established 1986.
That big, you're the best, Casey.
This big Mario this is sticker is phenomenal. Thank you, Casey.
Yeah,
the
of
Hyrule
course.
One is great, too.
Yeah, these really are great.
Nice.
Welcome back. It's good
Thanks.
To see you.
Thank you.
I know. I'm glad to be here.
When do you think you'll unpack from this trip?
I already finished unpacking. I unpacked
okay,
everything.
Yeah.
I did all of my laundry. I put all of my clothes away. It's done.
Amazing.
It only took me a month.
Amazing.
But I did it. So I guess I have a question. Would you guys like an event like this to come to America? And do you
yes.
think it would be as successful?
No, absolutely. I want to meet Tom Nook and KK Slatter. I want to meet those animals.
I don't want it. I don't think it's quite the same here. I don't know. I mean, like, obviously things like Disney on Ice exist
yes.
in the US, and like parents take their kids to them. So there might be a way to make something like this big. But when I lived in Japan, they had all sorts of stage events and concerts. Like, there was a Star Wars Live event I went to with like dancers and staged battles, and they brought this giant blow up Millennium Falcon out on stage in the finale. Like, they have crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Actually, it was the George Lucas Experience or something. It had everything. it had like Tucker and Indiana Jones in it.
There were so many Splatoon fans at Nintendo Live. Like a very,
yeah.
very
that
most,
game is,
most people had some Splatoon identifying item on their person.
That game does not have that same level of fandom outside of Japan,
mm-hmm.
but it would still be cool.
I wish it did because... Honestly,
it's so cool.
No matter whether you like the game or not, the Nintendo did a wonderful job in designing and coming up with the look and feel of a brand new property like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that game's style is fantastic.
Yeah, it's really unique.
And that was their answer to first-person shooters, which
yeah.
we'll get to a little bit later.
Very cool.
Yeah. Tom is unboxing
I'm just
the towel.
I'm just showing off the towel for
it's Tom's
folk
now.
Who are watching on YouTube. There you go.
It's white with a green outline with different emotions of Tom Nook's face.
That's like, it's too big to be a hand towel and it's too small to be a body towel.
Yeah, it's Tom Nook and Timmy and Tommy.
It's really cute.
I love
Very
it.
Very cute.
Maybe you bring it to the hot spring and put it on your head.
It says Tanuki
yeah,
Kaihatsu on it.
Says what?
Tanuki Kaihatsu.
Hmm. Oh yeah, I guess that's something is... A raccoon and a tanuki are two different things.
Yes.
Tanuki is a raccoon dog.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's a slightly different type of raccoon.
Do we have official confirmation
like
on which Tom Nook is?
He's a tanuki.
He's a tanuki. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Tanukis can turn into stone. That's
right.
Science
well,
fact.
They are in Japanese culture, they're tricksters. You see them in mm-hmm. the statues in front of
I saw a bunch
restaurants
of them.
And stuff.
They
and temples.
There's something about them that's inappropriate, but if you look up a statue, like, don't be surprised.
They have.
It's the
large mm-hmm. talents. Well, if you watch the Miyazaki movie as well,
you'll know.
The Heisei Tanuki Pompoko, whatever, that Miyazaki anime. They fly with the help of the giant talent.
Pompoko, yeah.
Yep. Pompoko. That's it.
I've watched it. I just don't remember the name.
All right, that's enough on
Tanukis.
This year, I decided I actually wanted to like follow hockey a little bit more than just the most casual of casuals. So I subscribed to a service that streams all of the NHL to your television. The Boston Bruins home opener, I went to watch it and boom, blackout restrictions apply, which I thought was kind of ridiculous because I'm still 200 miles away from Boston, but whatever. Had I had NordVPN, that wouldn't have been a problem. I would have just gone in, changed my settings to another geographic area, and boom, I could have been watching all the Boston Bruins home games like it was nothing at all. So now I have NordVPN, and I can watch the home games of my local teams streaming without being frustrated. It's the same thing with, like, Netflix. It has all these complicated licensing rules, which from one country to another don't really make sense. So something you could watch on South Korean Netflix, you won't be able to watch on the United States Netflix unless NordVPN, boom, switch to South Korea, and you're watching whatever Korean drama that you want. I highly recommend you do that. I haven't done it myself, but people seem to enjoy them. And who am I to try to bring down people's enjoyment? NordVPN, more than just entertainment and sports availability, it's going to protect you, especially when you're traveling, when you're using public Wi-Fi. People are trying to get in there. They're creeping on you. Bad actors, people trying to steal your password, your bank account details. Who knows what the government's doing these days? I can't keep track. They're all over the damn place. NordVPN, it's going to protect you. It's going to protect up to 6 devices because I know you have at least that many devices in front of you right now that can hook up to the internet. Boom. Fastest VPN in the world. You're not going to get any buffering. You're not going to get any lagging. It's going to stop your ISP from bandwidth throttling, which they do. That's kind of sneaky, especially how much you're paying those guys. There's threat protection to protect you from viruses and malicious malware and whatever else. Unsavory actors are out there. If you want to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/NintendoVC. That's nordvpn.com/NintendoVC. Victor Charlie. That link is also going to give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There is no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nice of them, and I appreciate that.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Let's just get to some news real quick. So first, Janet Garcia's in-depth interview with Pokemon Sword and Shield's producer Junichi Masuda and the director Shigeru Omori is up on IGN.com right now. You can read that to learn more about how multiplayer works in the wild area, how long the campaign is, which starter Pokemon they're going with, and a whole lot more. So for more in-depth Pokemon talk, go check that out. We're not going to talk too much about it here because we're going to be talking about that a lot in the next within the next 3 weeks. So
nice.
Wait. Mm-hmm. And IGN Japan just revealed a secret project by Suda51 and Swery65, who is the creator of No More Heroes and Deadly Premonition. And it's going to be a horror game.
It should be called 116.
This is the thing I didn't know. I didn't know Swery had a number, too.
I didn't either. I had no idea.
I knew Suda was 5-1, but I didn't know Swery had 6-5.
Suda's first name is
number if you want.
Suda's first name is Goichi, and Go and Ichi are 5-1.
Right.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I didn't know that.
Joke.
The more you know. So the game is supposed to be easy to pick up and play, and they're right now they're calling it Hotel Barcelona. And I picked out one. But it might not be in Barcelona. It might be in a bunch of different places. It might be in Tokyo. It might be in South America. Like, mm-hmm. We really have no idea. And Suda brought up a PS2 game during the interview and said that Siren from the PS2 is the inspiration for this game. And in that game, players piece together the narrative by playing from the perspectives of 10 different characters. And his idea for Hotel Barcelona is that you'd see different rooms, each one which represents a different person or a different dimension or a different look at what happens in this period of time.
Yo, I'm all about this.
Well, we'll see if it ever gets done. Right?
That's the...
Because he also said they've wanted to work together and they would go out drinking and then forget about it because they were too drunk.
I think they said they wanted the creator of Siren to work on it with them as well, mostly because they like drinking with him.
Yeah.
And they texted him during the interview, and then by the end of the interview, got a text back that just said yes.
That's so funny. I'm totally into this. Both of these guys make completely insane video games
that
don't really usually fall into the sort of traditional compartments where you can put genres in. A lot of their games are also sort of like technically underwhelming, but really like ambitious and interesting.
Yeah. So that's sort of the mark of a lot of Swery's games, right? Is like really cool concepts that are really like if you just had a little bit more bigger budget and a little more time, it would be like just a banger of a game.
Yep.
And instead it's just like a really cool idea. Like that was like the missing was such a cool concept of a game, and it was really, really fun. It just had a million rough edges, and it's kind of up to you whether you can overlook that or not.
Yeah, I played Deadly Premonition a bit when it came to Switch, and I'm definitely going to keep going. It is a bizarre, bad, awful, very endearing, like creative, clever thing.
Isn't it Alana's favorite game?
Yes. Alana Pierce, who used to work at IGN, works at Funhouse. Shout out to Alana. She has a tattoo from this game, which is it's so funny because it's like
this is a
tried and true B movie ass video game. Like it is just totally weird and very bad in many ways, but also like has a lot of really cool stuff going for it.
But I'm totally with you that the merging of these two totally weird and knowing it forces is gonna, if it does produce something, like Per said, it's gonna be wacky.
It could be really fun.
I'm very here for it.
That's awesome.
Suda's great. We've worked with him a bunch of times. He's done our show Up at Noon like 5 or 6 times at this point. He's working on No More Heroes 3 right now. That's supposed to still be coming to Switch. So I hope they can finish that and then they can focus on whatever weird horror nonsense video game this will be. But I'm all for it.
Well, they're aiming for it to have an indie budget, and they brought up Devolver Digital as possibly being the publisher.
That would be the only publisher that would publish this.
It sounds right up their alley.
Yeah,
right?
No, it sounds like we'll a great match.
But you wrote here that Devolver said they had not been told about the project.
Yeah.
But they invited them to pitch it to them.
That's a very Devolver thing as well.
Yeah. Maybe they did that on purpose. Like, oh, if we say that they already know about it and we're walking with them, they'll be interested in working with us.
Oh, my dad totally said I can go to the party. Yeah. Oh, I actually haven't asked him yet. Yeah.
But now he can't say no or else he'll feel bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, we'll see how that works out.
If you speak some Japanese, look up this live stream on YouTube. The whole thing is posted there.
They started eating hot dogs with chopsticks, apparently, during the stream.
It is very strange.
I would try that.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
I'm into it.
Are we talking on a bun?
Or I don't know.
Is it the whole thing or just
the whole hot dog?
Yeah, there's a lot of missing pieces to this puzzle. That's
Watch the stream to find out.
Japan.
Okay.
You lived in Japan for a while, Per. What's like the heaviest food you ever lifted with chopsticks?
Oh my god.
Like do you ever get like a whole turkey leg?
No. Probably like a manju or something. Like
what's that?
Big dumpling.
Oh, like a big dumpling. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And then you got to bite it. I didn't think about that.
that can be your homework for next week.
Yep. So. Thank you.
All right.
Try a turkey leg.
Also, Time.com got the ability to interview Shintaro Furukawa, who is the current Nintendo president. And he says that Nintendo has a steadfast commitment to experimentation, and Nintendo is Nintendo because of our games, characters, and IP, so giving our teams the freedom to experiment with new ideas is something I strongly agree with. Expansion can't happen without the freedom to try something new and the courage to step into unfamiliar territory. So the headline of the article is Shintaro Furukawa is ready to take Nintendo to the next level. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in learning more about Nintendo's business strategy, check out that
It was pretty light on anything detailed. He did say that their mobile strategy is to make money in a way that is comfortable to consumers.
Yeah.
I don't know how well that worked with the last release, I appreciate that they're at least thinking about that, not being exploited.
I'm actually really fascinated to see numbers on Mario Kart. Yep. A few months from now.
Because
I think a lot of people played it early on.
A lot of people are still playing it. The weekly challenges are still very popular. Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many of those people are paying it, though.
Hmm. I don't know. We'll have to do a front page poll.
Yeah.
For example, and I think possibly Thursday, if you're watching this now, we may have a poll up on the front page about why you choose the Pokemon version you're choosing. Mm. So definitely go do that if it's up on the site right now.
IGN.com.
That's the website.
Our site. That's 6 whole letters. I don't know. We made a lot to type.
You can just type in IGN and hit enter. It'll be fine.
All
right. Yeah.
So this next story applies mostly to Japan, but I thought it was interesting because it clarifies some things about Tokyo Mirage Sessions.
It applies to us too.
F.E. Sharp.
F.E. Sharp.
And the official Japanese website says the worldwide Switch release will be a port of the censored North American Wii U version, not the Japanese version. Mm-hmm. So to us, we probably wouldn't have known any better regardless.
Well, unless you followed all the stories prior to release. Yes. Mm-hmm. Or so, import it. Yeah.
Exactly. So Nintendo has since apologized for not making the game's contents clear prior to pre-sales, because apparently on the official website, they had used screenshots from the Japanese version, which wasn't censored. And that kind of misrepresented the product. So Japanese fans can get a refund if they prefer, if they have pre-bought it.
Yeah. It's interesting because I feel like on this one, they kind of went a little bit, they went a little far on the changes. Like some changes seem so utterly kind of why? Because the game is about pop stars and like outrageous costumes and all that. So if there ever was a Nintendo game to go a little bit farther with the outfits and the craziness, it would have been this one. So I was surprised that they went as far as they did with this, with the release. And that's not going to be a popular decision in Japan for sure.
No. Just wait for 2020's Captain Toad's Drag Race. Okay. Then it'll really get into the wild costumes there.
Thank you, Tom Marks.
I'm into it.
So of a special interest, Diablo 4 may have been leaked. Maybe? There's a Blizzard ad in a German gaming magazine called GameStar, which referenced Diablo 4. An ad to the Art of Diablo book will feature art from Diablo 1, 2, 3, and 4. And so this magazine is the November edition, and BlizzCon is November 1st, so there's some speculation saying, well, maybe the magazine wasn't supposed to go live until then, or it could just be a mistake because there is another Diablo game on mobile. And maybe,
or they're trying to defuse the utterly bad PR bomb that they created over the last few weeks by putting something that's a little bit more...
I don't think it's... I honestly think it's more... There's a company that is creating this art book, and they... Maybe they misnamed the mobile release as Diablo 4. That could be it, too.
I mean, Diablo Immortal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like a weird thing to slip out like this.
It's also, this is the funniest story to me, because GameStar, the website, reported on the possible leak of the ad in their own magazine.
I bet.
That's really funny.
And this is no shade of GameStar. This is not on them at all. I'm not saying anything about that. It's just like hilarious to me that they then reported on an ad in their own magazine being like, well, you can buy the magazine on this date to find out if it's actually in there. Like pretty much. Like
it's really funny. I mean, IGN itself was part of a print publisher from 1996 to 1999. So we were part of Imagine Media, the print publisher, and we would see magazines before they were on newsstands. We couldn't say anything about that stuff. You know, they had previews of games that weren't released to, you know, us web heathens. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting that not only did they report on their unreleased magazine, they reported on an ad that somebody bought in it.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But this, we should say GameStar, the website GameStar.de is run by Webedia, who are our IGN Germany partners. They actually run IGN Germany.
The interesting thing about this too is when it comes to like a leak is Diablo 4 as a concept and as a game that's been being made is sort of been the worst kept secret for a long time now. Mm-hmm. And Kotaku and Jason Schreier over there has done a bunch of reporting on kind of how it got canceled and changed and reworked and has just been in this development cycle for a long time. I think a lot of people are just flat out assuming that after people got so mad at last year's BlizzCon that they're going to probably announce it at this year's to make amends in some way.
For sure.
So the idea that this might be a genuine leak is not at all surprising to me.
The only thing with Diablo is, with Blizzard in general, is that you can never count on... You know, unlike other companies where you know a new Call of Duty, a new Elder Scrolls is coming.
Right.
With them, you don't know if there's a new StarCraft coming in the next 10 years or if there's a new Warcraft coming. I mean, we haven't had a classic traditional Warcraft with a new number come out in since 4, right?
Warcraft 4? Warcraft 3.
Warcraft 3 since.
Yeah, since
we only had the original re-released. So who knows with Diablo?
There's Reforged coming, but it's
and I never got StarCraft Ghosts either.
From the way Blizzard makes it sound, you didn't want StarCraft Ghosts.
Sounds like it. I still wanted it.
And those are my words, I guess. But yeah, it's definitely interesting. It's definitely interesting leading into BlizzCon, because even if this leak is completely, like you said, they just accidentally meant Immortal, it's still almost certainly true. Yeah. It's just a matter of time, and whether this has validity is not necessarily a sign of whether we're going to get Diablo 4 or not.
Yeah, and then the ultimate question for this show is, will the Switch even be able to run it?
Right.
Well,
that's,
you know, it feels,
who knows?
I mean, if the Switch can run Overwatch, it seems like Blizzard is,
well,
Blizzard never pushes your PC, like Blizzard never does just a high spec game, right?
Yeah.
They're pretty variable with
it. They scale well.
With the success of Diablo 3 on Switch, I think that they're definitely thinking about it.
Yeah,
I think that they would be very, I don't think they're foolish enough to just say, well, we want it to be higher graphics, so we're just going to skip Switch. Like, I don't think they would do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, Overwatch is a game that I've said the stat on this show before that, you know, at one point, 20% of the people who were playing Overwatch on PC were playing on integrated graphics with no graphics card. They were just playing on a laptop.
There you go.
But it still took a long time to port to Switch. And when it came, you know, we just gave it a 7.0 in our Switch review from Simon Cardi, which you can check out on IGN, because it's pretty inconsistent, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's got a lot of performance issues. So it's probably something they're going to have to think hard about, but I think that they would definitely, definitely be shooting themselves in the foot if they skip Switch with Diablo 4.
Let's hope we get Diablo 4. Let's hope we get it on Switch.
Yes.
Agreed.
All right. And now on to games out this week.
Hooray.
Yeah. First, let's talk about Monaco the Complete Edition, which is out on the 21st for $15.
This is a Tom game.
You can tell it's not a racing game.
Yeah, no, I love Monaco. This was a game that came out a long time ago on PC called Monaco, What's Yours is Mine. And then the complete edition is just kind of
That's rude. Culmination.
Yeah. Well, it's a game about stealing. Do you not know this game?
No, I don't know this game.
Monaco is one of, I'm just going to say it, Monaco is one of the best co-op party games, like local co-op party games you can get. It is just one of my favorites.
Okay.
And essentially, it's this top-down heist game. Everything's very either dark or neon.
Mm-hmm.
I always get it wrong. Pocket Watch Games, I believe, not Stopwatch Games. Mm-hmm. Pocket Watch, who also made a game called Tooth and Tail, which is a really good RTS, mini RTS game. Anyway, I'm getting off the topic. Monaco is this game where it's a co-op game. You can play it solo as well, where you are these little dudes who each have an ability, and you're basically like bank robbers, and you get dropped into a level, and it's like, okay, you've got to get this thing from this room, or you have to escape this path. But everyone has different abilities. So, like, one person is the cleaner, which means if they sneak up behind a guard, they can just knock them out in one hit. But not everybody can do that.
Oh.
My favorite character was a character called the Mole, where he could just break down essentially any wall in the entire game. So while everyone else was sneaking through the house and avoiding security cameras, you could just dig through the entire building and go around the back.
So is this like The Escapists or something? Like,
it's
that style or different?
It's similar, okay. But it came before Escapists, mm-hmm. I believe. And it's much more chaotic, action-y, very almost like it's got these almost like ragtime moments of it, of just like Benny Hill chaos, where like somebody sets off the alarm and suddenly everybody's running and you're just like trying to grab as much stuff as you can and get out to the escape hatch before you all get caught. It always, always, always goes bad, right?
Like, I'm gonna buy it right now.
Yeah. This is one of those games where the best laid plans that you come up with are just gonna go wrong. And part of the fun of it is being sitting around the TV with three other friends and just being like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, and like running out the door and avoiding guards. It's really fun. Yeah, it's a really good co-op game.
That sounds great.
And I'm very, very glad it's coming to Switch, because it can have new life here for sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
Switching back.
I want to get it.
And the next game coming out is Skullgirls Second Encore, which comes out on the 22nd for $25. Skullgirls is a 2D fighting game with a really interesting art style with kind of a cult following and actually played really well. If anyone, you guys played Skullgirls?
I played the original. I didn't play this.
I have not played this one either. I've only played the original.
Yep.
I think this is just like basically a complete edition with a fancy name.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a loved game. They also just made Indivisible, which is their newest game, which is an RPG that is coming out on Switch eventually, but not yet.
And next is Tangle Tower, out on the 22nd as well for $20.
Was this a game you shouted out, Brian? Or
I don't think so.
Can't remember who it was. This is the new game from the developers of Snipperclips.
Oh yeah.
It originally came out on Apple Arcade.
This was on my radar.
Yes.
Yeah, I totally wanted to see this.
So this came out on Apple Arcade from the developers of Snipperclips. It's like a mystery adventure game, pretty much, where you're in a tower trying to classic whodunit, basically.
Nice.
Very different game.
I'm trying to bring up these videos faster, but there are ads.
Well, you're supporting IGN on YouTube.
I am.
Watching the ads.
If you go on IGN,
I don't have Prime.
Whoa.
God. How long have you worked here?
2.5 years.
Okay.
At 3 years.
It takes us
Prime.
5 minutes to turn on a Prime account. You don't get ads.
I sometimes like having ads because I can't tell how everyone sees our wikis without the ads being
on. There's a button. You can turn them back on.
I didn't think to ask. I was just like, I'm going to support IGN with my cents.
But thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for watching our ads. Click on them too. Send us money.
But next time I'll
get
Prime.
Are you okay, Casey?
Yeah, no. Okay. I'm just like, it wasn't clicking.
My subliminal just became liminal there, apparently.
And next we have Ant Hill out on the 24th for $10.
I played that.
And this was made by...
Image and Form.
Yes.
Yeah, SteamWorld Dig Boys.
Yeah, SteamWorld.
Creators of every SteamWorld game you've played. This is...
Ant Hill.
This is an older game,
yeah.
I believe this is their first game.
It is.
You can only play it in handheld mode.
Touchscreen.
Because it is touchscreen only.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so...
Well, that's because it was a mobile game at first, right?
Yeah. And so it's a very sort of... like simplistic but also pretty like fun and interesting top-down kind of bug-based RTS. It gets a little Pikmin-y at times because you're essentially sending waves of bugs out to kill enemies and then other waves of bugs out to drag their carcasses back to your your anthill.
Yeah.
And
you get different types of ants, like some, you know, you have workers that you send to, you know, Go get the juice from the little aphids.
Yeah,
so gross. What are ants doing? Mm. Seriously, butt juice.
Yeah.
And then you have soldiers. You've got bombardiers. You have all these different ant types. And you can basically, it's a little bit like tower defense too, right? Like you draw circles around your enemies to send your soldiers out and stuff. It's fun. It's cool.
Yeah, it's actually like weirdly cathartic. To just kind of sit there in handheld mode and poke at the screen and draw lines for all the ants to go travel to get the juice.
Would you say it makes you feel like an ant?
I would not say that, but I think people that run bad jokes into the ground in the comments would.
It makes me feel like an ant hill, though.
Yeah. Too much ants.
Yes.
So if you want to be another animal, Cat Quest 2 is also coming out this week.
Excellent segue.
I got super hooked on the first Cat Quest on Switch. I don't know why. It is such a like rudimentary RPG.
Yeah.
It is like so simple, and it's definitely like a casual for kids type of game.
It's like an open world action RPG. Is it a co-op game?
I believe you can play co-op. I played it all by myself because I'm a loser.
Aww.
I loved it. Aww. I had a good time. So I'm going to buy this game the second it comes out.
Cat Quest also caught me off guard because when I first played it, because it's this game that looks like it'll just be kind of fine, and then you get into it and you're like, this is the good game, right?
Yeah.
Like it definitely caught me off guard.
Mm-hmm.
And more of it kind of more refined or expanded. I'm not sure what the second one really brings, but I'm definitely interested in more of that.
Yeah, I don't know enough about this game or what it's doing new, but based
on... You can play as a dog as well.
What?
What?
Yes.
You get
that. Here's a cat and a dog.
A dog?
Immediate veto.
Why would I want a dog in Cat Quest?
Gosh.
Because dogs are like cats, just better.
No, that's opposite.
This is a whole thing we can't get into right now, guys. Mm-hmm.
Dogs are...
Are you a cat person or a dog person?
Our listeners and viewers know.
Ambivalent.
That's no.
I think dogs are much better. I don't want them in Cat Quest.
Oh, okay.
How about that?
All right. Fair enough. All right.
Fair enough.
Fine.
Good.
I like cats.
I don't want any animals.
That is an appropriate opinion.
I like cats more because you can leave them at home and go do things with your life.
Yes.
That's a selfish reason to like an animal.
Yes.
That's not. Yeah.
But they're just as happy for you for when you come home.
No, they're not.
I like dogs when you
they're happy because they like
cat,
the food person is back.
Whenever whenever my fiance leaves the house and I'm still there with my cat, we're hanging out, and he just gets up and leaves, he will go to the door and cry.
Because he's like, that's the food person.
I feed her,
Casey
too.
Casey never gives me
the
right stuff.
She does the same thing when he's home and I leave.
Okay.
And then if she thinks she's home alone,
what a nice animal.
Out,
makes you feel bad.
And then she cries. And she's like, oh, no, am I alone? Am I alone? Until she finds someone. She's like, oh, okay.
That is a good story about your cat specifically. But
my cat is a very nice, sweet baby.
In general, dogs are a better animal.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't know. Colin doesn't even want pets for me. All he cares about is pear.
Colin is very reserved, but Midna loves you.
A minute ago, I tried to steer us away from this dark, dark path, and it did not work.
Okay.
Pear doesn't have a dog in the fight because he has horses. Those are horses that he has somehow convinced his family are dogs.
Yeah.
They're quite large and sleek.
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't use little poop bags. We use shopping bags.
Yeah. Those are house ponies.
Mm-hmm.
House ponies? So, hey, what are you guys playing other than with your animals at home?
So much.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
I was playing a Hat in Time last. I just switched Switches again.
Yes, so I wanted to ask Dragon you about Quest that. Model. So was that a Japan only?
This is a Japan only, and even worse, it was sold out. I sent my poor daughter to every store in Tokyo, and it was always sold out. They actually had all these displays for them.
I understand why your kid went to school in Japan.
She didn't go. I sent her.
Yeah. Yes. Now you have a man on the inside.
Right, a woman.
Yeah.
Yes. The Disney Tsum Tsum one, you can buy that one everywhere. That's a terrible game, by the way. Don't buy that game.
No, it's
bad
really...
Mini-game. What? Are you kidding me?
Disney Tsum Tsum is really
Who would have ever guessed?
But of course...
They made a whole Switch for it. I figured it'd be good.
That doesn't mean anything.
People like the aesthetic of Disney, maybe not...
Yes. So, sorry, what was your question?
Well, I was just going to say that, of course, Dragon Quest was sold out, because that's probably the most popular game in Japan, Dragon Quest. But I was going to ask, how many Switches do you have now, Pear?
Without the kids?
Without the
kids. You have your
Not
launch
counting
Switch?
The kids. Launch Switch.
Switch Lite.
Switch Lite. Tsum Tsum.
Uh-huh.
And Dragon Quest.
So that's you have four.
Four. Only four Switches.
Only
so
four.
Do you have one that is... You've had to buy all these just because of the Joy-Con.
That's not true.
That
I wanted the back plate with the beautiful slimes on it and monsters.
But I think you mostly wanted the Joy-Con.
Yeah.
Because they're a different color.
And yeah, that may be, you that may be true.
You don't have that ability in your brain to stop. Yeah.
And, and the Tsum Tsum one and the Dragon Quest one are the longer battery life ones?
Yes. Yeah, so I wanted a model with a longer battery life for travel. And
so
I actually
bought two. Obviously.
I like the Classic better than the Lite, honestly. I like the model. Well, they also have Joy-Con that you can switch and accessorize, you know?
I like this idea of instead of just using a charger pair, just like when one Switch is about to die, he'll just... port the saves over to the next one and just take that one out of the bag.
By the way, the multi account system is still really bad. It's awful to be transferring stuff.
I don't think the average user has four Switches, though. That's, I think, what's tripping you up.
That's maybe true. Back to A Hat in Time. It's published by Humble Bundle. It's actually our sister company. Despite that, I enjoy the game. The Switch version has some issues. If you have the chance to play the game, it is really a throwback to Super Mario 64, kind of like a world-based platform game with different stars to get.
Yeah.
Really funny writing, really funny characters, some really cool challenges. Not as polished as Mario Around the Edges. The Switch version has some performance issues.
It's actually every version has performance issues with this game.
Like, yeah.
Frame rate stuff has been an issue for pretty much all of them.
Yeah, and the Switch version has some blurrier textures and it has some bugs. So be aware of that. I hope they patch some of that stuff out. But so far, so good. I haven't had anything where the game shut down on me, but I've seen some people had some issues getting stuck and stuff.
Yeah, this is a pretty competent sort of N64 era 3D platformer. Yeah. If you're looking for one of those and you have Yooka-Laylee already and you want more.
Yeah,
this is a funny category because a lot of people have been doing this in the last few years. These Mario inspired 3D platformers. Excuse me.
Yeah,
I think this is the best of the indie ones.
I agree.
If that makes sense, like this is the one that got closest to that feeling for me compared to the rest of the field.
But I'd say it's better than
Poi.
It's better than platformers. You know, of the kind of the non-Nintendo systems, even from the 64-bit, 32-bit era. It's a really fun game with some really cool ideas, and you get new hats that have different powers. You know, you can scooter around, you can run around, jump around. It's a really fun game, really enjoyable. Cool worlds and a great sense of humor. The Mafia guys are amazing.
Perry, you and I are also playing Super Monkey Ball Banana Blitz.
That's right.
HD, which is a...
How angry are you?
When does that come out?
In like a week.
Yeah. Okay. This is a remake of the Nintendo Wii version.
Seventh Monkey Ball game.
Yeah, which is a weird... So I loved Super Monkey Ball 1 and 2.
I played the GameCube version a lot.
Those are the ones... Mm-hmm. You played the great ones.
Those are the best ones.
Those are the best ones. I feel like that is a franchise that sort of lost the plot a little bit and also got ported to literally everything at some point. That came to the Game Boy Advance, which had like D-pad controls, which didn't work at all. It came to iOS, which then they pulled the version and that had motion controls. It came to DS with touch controls.
Yeah, we had the motion controls for Tilt. Mm-hmm. The best versions are still the ones that control with a stick.
Yeah.
which you can use with this version. Obviously, it's stick controls. Never watch anybody play because you'll get motion sick just seeing that thing tilt all over the place. Mm-hmm. But it's the one that uses the jump button pretty liberally.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of monkey ball purists, and I think I belong to that group that liked it better when you didn't jump.
Me too. I think that's like a needless mechanic that they added to an otherwise pretty perfect formula. And this is a port of that game, and I don't know if this is one of those things where they're like testing the waters to see if this does well, then they'll port Super Monkey Ball 1 and 2, which is like the really good ones, but it feels like one of those like EA moves where they're like, here's our like third tier thing, and if it doesn't sell well, then obviously people aren't excited for this.
So from a value perspective, this Monkey Ball had all the mini games, and it had like a ton, I think like 50 of them, and there's some really good ones. Like the flying stuff was amazing. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to be had. From a balance perspective, this game is less than perfect. Yeah. Like you'll go from a super easy level to something that's completely hard, bounces you around, has some patented Sonic the Hedgehog mechanics where like you have to die in order to find out that you were going to die at that spot.
He's in this game by the way.
Yep. You go so fast that you know you don't see the hole ahead of you. And the whole game is about finishing stuff as quickly and with as many bananas as possible. Yep. So I don't love that. That said, I'm still having fun. Like, it feels like I'm going back to the old GameCube days, or the Wii days in this case. And it's just one of those games that will make you really, really angry.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, the learning curve is kind of all over the place. I think there's major pacing issues. I think the bosses are all pretty bad.
But
I don't know why this game has bosses.
The bosses are because you don't have enough control to do the things that they ask you to do. Yep. And so sometimes it's just frustrating. You get hit and you just get bounced out. And it's like a game of chance a little bit. This is the perfect game to play with a friend where you hand off the controller.
Mm-hmm. Because, you don't get too frustrated and burnt out.
Yeah, you pass it to somebody else. And then the port is really competent. It runs at 60. It looks nice. They up-resed everything, and the sound effects are as grating as they were back then.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, Tom, you and I are both playing some Ring Fit Adventure. So are you, Pear?
I am too.
You couldn't tell?
Yeah, I'll play Ring Fit Adventure. So I played Sunday and Monday, and I did some static stretching yesterday.
I was a bad boy yesterday, but I played Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, Monday. Well, that's I. So on Monday, I did one of my normal sets of an exercise I usually do. And then I was like, oh, I'll do Ring Fit Adventure now instead of like aimlessly working out. I only survived 9 minutes of actual exercise time before I was like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore.
But the way they count that is very unfair.
Yeah. So it was 9 minutes of like exercise time, but I was probably playing the game for more like 35, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Because of the warm up.
They only count it when you're actively doing a thing.
I see.
So when you're like shaking the controller and squeezing to select your moves, none of that is counted. Or like when you're getting into position to do a thing, none of that is counted. Yeah, it's only the active time you're doing.
Even in between your sets. Like if even when you're, for example, doing the ab block thing, in between the ab blocks, it's not counting. It's only while you're actively doing it.
I played like the first 35 minutes and it was like, you burned 25 calories. And I was like, that's a chip.
That's also
a potato chip.
It's also accurate.
Yeah.
Working out does not burn that many calories. Like running a mile is like what? Like 150? It's almost
Might as well
just not eat the cookie.
It's like an interesting thing too, though, because those are all estimates. Yes. And like I just, the same day that I got Ring Fit in, I got a Fitbit for the first time and I was using it there. And my Fitbit rated my heart rate about 20 beats per minute faster than whatever Ring Fit told me.
Yep.
And then similarly, Ring Fit told me at the end of my first workout that I had burned like 100 calories or something like that. And my Fitbit had said I had burned 400.
Okay.
So I think that there is some middle ground. I don't think one of them is right and the other is wrong necessarily. Right.
So you used my Apple Watch. I actually got very similar heart rates with the measurement on this one. Mm-hmm. You got to make sure that you have your thumb on it the right way.
Yeah, you got to be like the perfect pressure level.
How freaking clever is that? Yeah, they use the IR sensor.
It's very smart.
And it's like the way it's integrated into the wheel, it feels so natural and smart the way they built it. But I got the same heart rate off the watch, but the watch told me like way more calories as well.
Yeah.
So I would, in that case, trust our Ring Adventure friend here a little bit more because they probably measured this stuff a little bit more.
Yeah,
you know, specifically for their workout routines.
Yeah, and if you're actively trying to do this to lose weight and get more fit, you should probably err on the side of caution. Be like, 400 calories, I can eat a whole extra slice of pizza because that's totally what I do. Don't do that. Like, go with the lower number.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But I mean, summary, I'm really enjoying it.
I'm having a lot of fun with it. I think it's really interesting and really unique, and they do it in such a good way, and the tips that they give you while you're doing the exercises are super helpful, and they, I just really like it a lot.
There's been a lot of kind of alternative games like this, even like the brain training stuff developed by third parties. This one is developed in-house, and it has this weird aesthetic. It kind of reminds me of Disney's Hercules. Like, it doesn't look like other Nintendo games, right? But it's... But the challenges, the monsters, the things you do, it's just really fun. They really figured out a way to entertain you while you're working out and doing some of these things.
It actually kind of looks like that upcoming Ubisoft game. What's it called?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Heroes.
Gods and Monsters.
Yeah, Gods and Monsters.
Hmm. It does have a similar style.
Yeah, I dig it. It is very distinctly Nintendo, which is it's reinventing all the stuff that was sitting on the table to begin with and making it into something brand new.
Yeah.
We're going to come back on November 20th and report our results, if any, and how it was playing this consistently for a month.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I'm just going to tell everyone ahead of time, don't judge me.
Okay. No judgment here.
I'm trying to keep it up. It's
judgment
just like
free zone.
Yesterday, you know, walk the dogs, and then my wife wants to watch TV, and, you know, with the Switch, you can't de-dock it.
Right. Yeah, that's a notorious
flaw.
Too
small. I can't see it from far away, okay?
Uh-huh. That is a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I tried doing Just Dance with it, not in the TV, and it's very difficult.
Oh, right.
So poor Switch. Are you maining a Switch Lite now?
Yeah, I'm maining a Switch Lite.
So what do you do with this game?
I play it on my regular Switch at home.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Fancy. So you do have multiple accounts.
What it's like to have two Switches instead of four, it's pretty straightforward. You know? And I have an idea.
What happened to your third Switch? You had a launch one.
Yeah, I traded it in for a Switch Lite.
How much did you get for it?
They gave me $200.
That's crazy. That's awesome.
You
should
got a free Switch Lite?
I mean, not a free Switch Lite because I paid for my regular Switch at some point. I basically spent $100 to have a Switch for 2.5 years and then also have a Switch Lite.
That's a lease. Pretty good.
It's like a lease.
Yeah, it's like a car lease.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad.
Hey, I also played Dragon Quest XI, which I know you guys talked about while I was out, and that game is great. It's so good.
So, funny story about Dragon Quest XI. I know you guys have talked about it in depth, especially when Zach was on the show, because I know he's obsessed with it. So, I put out, if you guys follow me on Twitter, you'll see a pie chart that I put out of all of the 15 hours that I spent playing games while traveling.
It's so Casey. A pie chart?
I made a pie chart with my data that I got from my family controls.
Yep.
During those 15 hours, I played Dragon Quest XI for about one, and for 13 of those hours, I played Slay the Spire.
Of course.
What was the 15th hour?
Just Dance.
You played Just Dance on the plane?
In my hotel room as exercise.
Oh, I was going to say, if you could play Just Dance for an hour on the plane, that's a feat.
The whole plane involved.
Yeah.
You'd probably not be invited back.
That's kind of moving. Yeah. No, people would be mad. Yeah. I told Nintendo that they need to do a Splatoon DLC for Just Dance. After seeing that concept.
That's a very good idea.
I would love it.
And it's Ubisoft. They love working together.
Yeah, right?
Really quick, just a point of clarification from last week's episode, because I saw somebody tweet at us about this. Brendan Graber was on, and he said he was playing a game that he couldn't talk about because of an embargo situation. And I jokingly said, so Brendan's playing Breath of the Wild 2 under embargo. That was a joke. There were a couple people that took seriously.
Oh.
Total goof. Just wanted to put that out there in case anyone was lingering on that.
Oh, I know what he's playing.
That's not the case. Yeah. He's playing a different Under Embargo game.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Look at the calendar and you can figure out what's coming up.
Yeah. But not Breath of the Wild 2.
And before we move on from the Spire, I just want to say that I got in the rankings over the weekend for one of the daily challenges.
Oh, nice.
I got number 28. Which is pretty good, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how many people play Slay the Spire on Switch. Probably not nearly as many as on the PC, but I felt pretty good about it.
Have you slayed the Spire yet?
Multiple times.
I don't know if you know this. Casey is insanely good at that game.
I've heard.
She's the best Slay the Spire player in the office, hands down.
Wow.
She is better than anybody else in the office who plays it, because she can, you came in the week or two after you started playing it on Switch. And had already beaten the final boss of the game. And the final boss of that game is...
Oh, the fourth level.
Yeah, is genuinely incredibly difficult. And I was so amazed and confused. I thought you were like misspeaking. I was like, you mean the third chapter, right? And you were like, no, the thing after that. And I was like, what? Because you had just done it so casually.
I love that this is your superpower.
Yeah.
You're really good at Slay the Spire.
And so it's like
knowing really long dinosaur names or something.
As we say every time, also published by Humble on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
I always forget to put that disclaimer. Too. Someone actually responded to one of my tweets, like, sponsored, made by Humble Bundle, like, disclaimer. And I was like, yeah, I always forget it. Thanks. Were there any other games you guys wanted to talk about?
Yes, I'm playing two small games that came out recently that are both really awesome. One is called Stranded Sails, which is a very kind of casual survival game about a group of people who get shipwrecked and end up on an island and have to kind of rebuild their campsite and plant trees. It's very much like something that is actively holding me over until Animal Crossing is here. It's scratching that itch for me.
Is it a Strand game?
No, it is not a Strand game. It's not a Hideo Kojima game.
Okay.
I don't think it has any of those elements. It's, from what I've seen, only single player. And it's very cartoony. It reminds me of a game called Lost in Blue, which came
I know
to,
that game.
Yeah, it came to Nintendo DS ages ago. Not nearly as clunky as that game. It's a lot more polished than that. But yeah, I really dig it. It's very slow paced, but it's also kind of like the kind of thing where like you do a couple of tasks and your camp gets a little bit better and people get a little happier and you plant some more food and you cook some food and stuff like that. And when you die in this game, which happens a lot of like exhaustion or hunger, you just like kind of respawn in your tent and get back out there. It's not punishing. You keep everything you collected. So it's like pretty forgiving. I really dig it. The other game
authentic.
I'm playing. No, it's not.
To real life.
Yeah, it's good. The other game I'm playing is called Valfaris.
Oh, which, I played that too.
Yeah, which is the complete opposite of Stranded Sails because it is a like pretty insane kind of gut-wrenching, over-the-top 2D action platforming game.
It's like ripped from the covers of so many heavy metal albums.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like the way it looks.
It's very like 70s, 80s heavy metal. it's got a little bit of Contra, a little bit of Doom.
Oh, yeah.
It's a 2D game. It is. I saw Patrick Klepek was tweeting about it too, which is really cool. A bunch of people, I think, are starting to figure out that this is a good thing. Check this game out. It's if you're looking for like a Contra style game on Switch, this one is very very violent and very nuts, but I really dig it.
And it's deliberately heavy metal referencing, like you know, like the moves of the character. The way it looks, it's kind of like a 16-bit plus game, mm-hmm. right? Like the world is too rich to have been done on a 16-bit console, but it is more pixel arty.
Yeah.
With just a lot of red going on.
A lot
of blood.
So go check that out.
Mm-hmm. And real quick before we move on, I just know that you guys talked about Return of the Obra Dinn quite a bit last time, right?
Yeah.
I'm starting it right now.
I started it as
You're on
well.
The show.
It is.
You're working on the show, or you can't.
No, I said honestly, like as we were talking at the beginning,
he started
I was
it.
Multitasking, amazing. It's a power of force.
It is the perfect game to play on Halloween with a significant other or a friend or
really?
Two. It's
good murder mystery.
Yeah, okay. It's a murder mystery, and it's the style is really cool, and the music is intense and creepy, but not too scary. If you can't do scary games, it's not that scary.
Again,
it's just like
Tom.
Tone. And we knew, and to the surprise of no one, I like it, and I'm having a good time with it because Tom recommended it.
Yeah,
so.
And again, Tom recommended this in our Game of the Year discussions last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said everybody should be playing this.
Shout out to Joe Scrubbles, too, in the UK, who said this was his Game of the Year last year. We nominated this game for Game of the Year in 2018 alongside Red Dead Redemption 2 and God of War, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is how passionately I feel about it. And thank you to everyone who I kind of evangelized it a lot last week. And thanks to everyone who said that they picked it up and were really enjoying it. So
nice.
I'm glad to hear that I didn't lead too many people astray like I usually do.
It's been a really awesome month for Switch.
It has been a great month.
So now we're on to Question Block, a game that we're going to play. But there's a special edition of Question Block because we had some NVC fans go to Reggie Fils-Aimé lecture at Cornell. And while there, he gave a lecture about, let me see if I can find this. Here we go. He gave a lecture on the principles for next generation leaders because he actually graduated from a class from Cornell in the business school. So they invited him back to speak. And we got reports back from Rachel Coleman and Dan Rockwood. So thank you so much for sending us in your passionate reports on this lecture. It was really interesting to read. And Dan said, before the lecture started, Reggie walked right by us and spoke with us, thanking us for making the long drive just to see him because they had driven to New York from Boston to go to this lecture. He said he hopes the lecture exceeds our expectation, and I can say without a doubt it did. Without any exaggeration, meeting Reggie, getting my photo taken with him, and having the opportunity to hear him speak was one of the best experiences of my life.
Oh, man.
We even made some new friends with Cornell students and got together to get our photo taken with him, another reminder of how video games can bring people together. Absolutely worth the 700-mile round-trip drive, and I wanted to share this experience with all of you, even if it doesn't make it onto the podcast. Well, you guys made it onto the podcast. Yay. Thank you so much for taking such detailed notes and interesting story and sharing it with us. It's very cool. And Rachel is a chemistry grad student at Cornell, and she gave us kind of the bullet point list of like what his lecture entailed, and I'll just some two kind of important tidbits from the lecture is that Nintendo's internal mantra is to create something unique. And Reggie specifically said to embrace memes as they happen, which is why he embraced my body as ready. Mm-hmm. So,
and that's really just real quick. That's really cool to hear when we also just got the quote from Furukawa about we want to experiment. And Reggie saying we want to make unique. They always want to make unique things. It's just cool to see that echoed.
And Dan also said that the hall was 602 seats and it was completely full. And the people kind of ushering people who wanted to see the lecture in were really surprised by how popular and were confused by how people learned about the lecture. Not like a bunch of video game websites have been reporting on this. So, of course, people would know about it. But Reggie was introduced as the Reginator.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That's so funny.
So I won't say all these details because we're running kind of short on time. Mm-hmm. But his points of the lecture were drive a greater vision, develop individuals and teams, intellectual curiosity, which basically always ask everyone why, find out how things work, and strive to make it better. So you find problems and you solve them. Have stellar communication, written, verbal, and nonverbal. Basically, always have three benefits listed in a memo so it's well thought out. They value differences. So basically just diversity is important and have courage in decision making. For example, the decision to have Wii Sports bundled with Wii was a difficult decision to make, and that Reggie said the higher ups weren't really comfortable with it, but the making that tough call really paid off for the North American market. Mm-hmm. And also Reggie did a question block, and here's what they learned. His favorite game while at Nintendo is Breath of the Wild. He mains Zelda in Smash, but true Nintendo fans would know he's not good at Smash anyway. And someone, of course, asked about Mother 3 while acknowledging he was sorry for asking. And Reggie said, I was hoping I could get through a presentation without being asked about it. I love Earthbound, and all I can say is I'm glad I'm not part of that decision anymore.
That's such a good answer.
That's great.
Yeah, that's
well,
awesome.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah,
guys.
That rules.
Yeah, yep. Thank you so much. It's very cool. Do you guys have time for a couple of question block questions?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Okay. So Matt from Indianapolis says, thanks for the great Nintendo-inspired entertainment to and from work every day. I am a dad in my mid-30s and proud to be among what I believe is the first generation of parents who grew up gaming from a very young age. I'm thrilled to enrich the lives of my offspring with the joyous hobby. However, I want to play too. My twin 6-year-old boys love everything on Switch from Mario Maker, Smash, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, and even Celeste. Needless to say, this leaves me very little time with the greatest console of this generation. So I have an idea but need help. I'm planning to encourage Santa to bring them each a Switch Lite for Christmas. However, I'm wondering the best way to configure these new Switch Lites under my Nintendo account. Huh. My goal is to share the games and or save data that I already have purchased and plan to in the future while protecting them online. Any advice would be helpful.
All right. Ooh. As a father of 3 children, much, much older, one in Japan who is also sharing games. Well, you have to set up a family account, first of all, where you pay for the annual fee to play Nintendo games online so that everybody can play Splatoon. But it means literally everybody can log in from their account that is under your main family account and play online at the same time. So you guys can play together. You know, you can do Salmon Run together in Splatoon with just one account. It also means everybody can download the Super NES games under their account. However, any games that you buy on your account, they can't automatically share on their Switches. What you have to do then is you have to sign on the other, you have to log into your account and create it on the other machines as well, where they would have to log in if you're buying them to Switches. They would have to log in to play your games specifically, and they would have to play under your account, which is really stupid. That's the limitation.
Does this change if you have physical copies of games?
Yeah, well, if you have physical copies, you've got no problem. You just plug them in. You know, everybody can have share the same cartridge, obviously, and switch them back and forth. But for buying games, you will have to have them log in as your account on their Switch, which means, you know, they would have to be, since these are the sub switches, they would have to be connected to an internet connection to verify the DRM that they can play these eShop games. It's doable. It's not that bad. It just means you have to have your account on multiple machines.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. And games with limited save files.
Yeah,
run into some issues.
Thanks, Per.
Yep.
I hope that helped you out, Matt, and also your suggestion to start publishing Tom's Out this week. It's a really good idea, and we'll start putting that in our article that goes up on IGN.com every Thursday at 3 p.m. So if you want to look back and reference games that we're talking about, check that out. From Kevin Osborne, he says, "Hey, NPCers, love the show, especially when you guys make fun of Zach, causing him to look at the camera, cock his head to the side a bit, and make that face he does. I'd like to get some game recommendations from you guys. My wife only likes playing cooperative games with me. Besides the Overcooked games, what other couch co-op games on the Switch would you recommend? Keep getting the thing. Thanks." And I think we just talked about...
Hey, Monaco!
And Cat Quest.
And Snipper Clips.
And Snipper Clips.
And New Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, that one, you'll be angry.
Yeah.
But obviously Yoshi as well.
Yes, yeah.
So some of the newer games.
Kirby? The most recent?
Kirby. The new Kirby game's fun.
Yeah.
And Luigi's Mansion is co-op as well. And that's coming out very soon.
Yep. So there's a bunch of stuff. And then Picross. I'm not kidding. The Picross co-op mode is fantastic.
Really?
No joke. You're both on the same screen, and it just feels really good to like tear through a puzzle and solve it together, or make mistakes and go, "What did you do?"
Unless you're the type of person who is very protective with your puzzles and like speeds through them at lightning speed, then it's just like fighting over.
It's super fun though.
I want to shout out
Picross S3 is the one to get.
River City Girls.
Oh yeah,
that game's
super fun in co-op. Mm-hmm. That just launched recently. It's a side-scrolling beat 'em up from WayForward. That's a really good time.
Did we say Towerfall?
I haven't Towerfall.
Really
Towerfall stands, I think, as one of the best local co-op, like competitive co-op games.
And it has a co-op campaign too.
Yeah, the campaign is
kind of short, but
well, it's like puzzles almost, right? Mm-hmm. Like the the campaign. I'm sorry. There's also PvE. So yeah, there's PvE where you can do co-op where you're fighting enemies that spawn from a portal. It's like basically wave based. That's very fun too. Towerfall is another old co-op game that. It has not gone out of style, lost a step in years.
If you are into the Marvels, Ultimate Alliance 3.
Ultimate Alliance 3 is a really good
game. And of course, Diablo.
Yeah, Diablo. Yeah. I was about to say, Diablo 3 is an awesome one.
Diablo 3.
My wife doesn't play a ton of video games. She's pretty old school when it comes to stuff like that. Like, she'll play like old side scrollers and stuff, or any modern games that sort of scratch that itch. But she and I got really into Diablo 3 because it's just like you can play it on pretty casual difficulty settings and just like kick butt and upgrade your characters.
And the pace is just good for co-op gaming.
Yeah. We both really got into Nine Parchments as well, which very, very Diablo-like.
Similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trine is also good for co-op.
Oh, yeah.
There are a lot of co-op games on Switch, guys.
Yeah, there's a ton.
The system made for it, pretty much.
And you need two Switches for this, but I'm going to recommend it anyway because Divinity Original Sin 2 is a really, really good game. Mm-hmm. And that also has awesome co-op.
Mm-hmm.
So, one more question.
Okay.
From Nikki Danks on our Facebook page. Do you ever lose your passion for gaming? I love gaming, but I go through phases where I might not touch a game for a few months. Is your hobby, is your profession, do you ever lose your mojo for gaming?
Totally. Like, if I may, I think this is something I've spoken about on the show before, but gaming is this really amazing hobby where a lot of people identify buy it, right? Like you embody it. And I love that. And I've done that a lot. But just like anything that kind of you throw yourself into, it's totally natural to lose steam with it, to burn out with it. And there's always this very natural human reaction to that where you start to feel guilty about not liking the thing that you've defined yourself by as much. And then you don't like it. It's this this, you know, this feedback loop of like, oh, I feel bad about it, which means I don't want to do it more, which means I feel more bad about it. And then it just goes on and on and on. I'd honestly say just like throw all those, like just try your best. And it's hard, but try your best to just like push those out of your mind. Cause I totally lose steam with games, and I'll go by times where I'm like, I really just don't want to play anything. I just want to go home and watch TV instead for weeks at a time. And then I'll come back and I'll, you know, I'll have flips in the same way where it's like, I'm just not enjoying anything. Mm-hmm. Like I have all these games available to me and I want to play something, but just nothing's clicking.
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
The way I rectify that is to fall back on like my sort of video game comfort foods.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like I'll go marathon, you know, Mario 64, Link's Awakening, Super Mario 3D World, you know, Bloodborne.
Yeah.
Just Wind Waker, stuff that's like, that I know, Resident Evil 4, stuff that I have memorized front mm-hmm. to back. It still gives me a sort of, like, I think I told the story on the show last year, but like when my kid was born, I was like sleepless and exhausted and I couldn't commit to any video game. And you don't feel like you're accomplishing anything because nothing you're doing is really great. Because you're just like half asleep and unshaven and you're like, I think this is working. I'm a new dad. I have no idea. And I plowed through Resident Evil 4 on hard mode and just kicked its butt. And I was like, yes, I've accomplished something again. I also try to switch between Switch and, you know, my iPhone and my PS4, and my Xbox One, sort of diversify the platforms I'm playing games on so I don't get too kind of lost in one of them or get bored by one of them. And also switching genres a lot. Like sometimes you'll be playing four new games at the same time and not really be in love with any of them. And I think for us it's weird because it's like there's this tendency to sort of feel like you have to play stuff, especially if you're reviewing it. You should, right? But for me, like I do, like there'll be a time where I'm playing five Switch games at the same time. I'm not in love with any of them. I'll put it down and maybe I'll play a casual mobile game or I'll play something crazy and hardcore on my PS4.
I think the key thing for me here is, and I've definitely said this on the show before, but like, just don't feel bad about it and fight this urge, this part of your brain that makes you feel like you need to be part of every conversation and you need to be up on every single game, because it's just like not true and it's not realistic for most people. And just like, play the things you enjoy, you know, be casual about and still enjoying the hobby, listen to NVC, even if you're not playing stuff, and then just like come back when something sparks you again.
Yeah.
It's
and
okay.
Don't make the mistake to just be hoarding, because it can be really overwhelming. Like I did this where I think I bought like two Assassin's Creed games in a row that I didn't play.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, all right, I got to stop. And I actually started skipping some of the new games because the open world games can be very daunting. And then I went back and I played them and really loved them because I kind of created myself a little bit of a gap in my library and I didn't feel like I was behind, you know, like constantly chasing stuff.
Yep.
But I had, you know, at a time when I was a teenager, I stopped playing games when I was, I think I turned like 16, didn't play games for like 3 years at all, and then got back into it with the Super Nintendo, the
I
Super
did the
Famicom.
Same exact thing, yeah.
And then nowadays, obviously, it's part of our job, so it's a little bit harder to say no to gaming. But once in a while, my wife will be gone for a week traveling, and I'm like, every night I'm coming home, I'm like, all right, now I've got it's perfect time to play video games. And I'm like, like I boot up Control and I'm like, I was just staring at it going like, I'm just going to watch like a trashy Netflix movie that she would hate instead, because I just don't feel like the effort is too much.
I do that a lot with my free time.
Yep.
Like, I'm going to watch a trashy movie or TV series that my significant other would really, really hate.
There you go.
Yeah. And sometimes your brain needs that.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's okay. And it doesn't make you any less of like, doesn't make the hobby any less yours, right?
Yep.
No one can... what you play and how into it you are at any given moment is just something that means something to you, not anything else.
Yeah, I find like reading about video games, learning about video games is endlessly fascinating, sometimes more so than actually playing them. And I know that's like a little sacrilegious, but I mean, this is what we do for a living, right? We cover games.
I always enjoy games for work. Like I that's like a different part of my brain for some reason. But yeah, like when I get home sometimes, not always, other times I'll go home and I'll play till midnight, you know, like phases, like you
even
said.
When I'm not playing stuff, like reading about video games is so fascinating to me. I love reading about the industry. I love reading about MPD. I love reading about stories and publishers and like games and announcements, that stuff I'll never give up on. Even when there's like a few days or even a week or so will go by without me playing anything.
And one of the reasons I love the Switch so much is that it fills some of the gaps in. Like when I'm at home, there's my family, there are my dogs, there, you know, I can cook, we can make music, all this stuff at home that's always distracting and that's competing, movies as well, competing with video games. When I'm on an airplane flying to another country or to New York, I have hours where I could watch a movie or TV show in its worst possible format.
Yeah.
You know, with scenes edited out, bad, like white screen destroyed, bad sound, all that. I don't want to do that usually. And so the Switch is just perfect. It's like, it looks great, sounds great, and it fills those gaps.
Yeah.
Yep.
Totally with you.
So to pull me back in.
Yeah. I have also, I mean, same. Sometimes I get apathetic, but I think you can say that about literally anything that you do in your life.
Yep.
Like, you can really enjoy cooking and just be like, I don't feel like cooking today. But, you know, when you have the time and you're not stressed, it's really fun.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sometimes you've got to order burritos.
Yeah. Or just, like, eat chips or go to the front store and get a burrito.
That's not what Ring Fit told me.
Exactly.
Ring Fit to eat a healthy, balanced diet.
With fiber.
Yes. Also, I learned, they tell you the weirdest facts. Like, the ingredient that makes garlic smell that way is this chemical
allicin. Why did it do
that? It's like, why does that matter?
Allicin's really good for you.
Isn't it also in skunk pee?
I don't know.
I guess we all got to start drinking skunk pee. You heard it here first from Ring Fit Adventure. Thank you so much for listening to NBC. I'm Casey DeVritas, and Tom Marks, where can they find you?
Hi, at Tom R. Marks on Twitter.
And like, I didn't add my Twitter handle, but that's ShinyKCD. Pear, where can they find you?
Pear IGN.
And Brian?
I'm at @_skunkpee.
That's a lie.
That's not his name.
Asian Bizzle. Yeah.
But look, that's
where you can find Brian. I'm
maybe
sorry
he'll
for,
change
for
it
outing
it goes
you.
Live.
You have to do it.
Yeah, it's fine.
So anyway, you can listen.
The skunk pee.
You can listen or watch NBC on your favorite podcasting platform, including YouTube.com, IGN.com, Spotify, Apple, all over the place, every Thursday at 3 p.m. And remember, this is the only place you can
get the thing.
Google, play IGN.
What?
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.